Welcome to Horangi Cybersecurity's Ask a CISO podcast. Come with us as we take a deep dive behind the scenes with the world's top cybersecurity leaders to get insights into security issues you care about. Before we take off, please help us grow by taking just a few seconds to like and subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and leave us a review letting us know what you think of the podcast and how we can improve.
Welcome to Horangi's Ask a CISO podcast. I'm your host, Paul Haji, CEO and co-founder of Horangi Cybersecurity. And today's episode is a special one because it's Horangi's anniversary. So he's completed six successful years at one of the most prominent cloud security companies in Asia. And there's some significant members of our team who have been through it all. So please welcome our guests for today. So firstly, we have Nico, who's our VP of Internal Security and IT. We have Ivan, who's our VP of Engineering. And we have Lance, who's our Senior Manager of Customer Success, as well as Bosi, who's our Director of Solutions Architecture. So with us, we have over 30 years, I think that's right, over 25 years of Horangi experience. And welcome, guys. It's so good to have you on the Horangi team on the podcast. And big congratulations to all of us for another year of the Tiger. So why don't we do like just some quick introductions, 1 minute for each one of you, and then I'll in your backgrounds a bit, and I'll jump into some of the questions that we have for today. So Nico, I'll let you start first.
Sure, and congratulations to Horangi and to you, Paul, and to everyone of us. A very exciting anniversary. So my name is Nico, and I've been with Horangi since the beginning. I actually met Paul before Horangi started, and joined as a first employee. And first I was in charge of building our first engineering team, but actually at that time, there were just few of us. So basically we were doing everything. And then as our company grew and the team matured, I was happy to hand over my baton to Ivan and myself start focusing more on internal security and IT, and I had a very exciting, interesting journey at Horangi.
Thanks, Nico. And yeah, it's been a great 7 years so far. So thanks for everything. Ivan, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi, my name is Ivan. I lead the engineering team at Horangi. Congratulations, my fellow Tigers, for going through the journey. I still fondly remember the day I went for interview. At Horangi, that was late 2017. We were in downtown Singapore, located in a very small office at a shop house, right? And also, what was interesting, really what attracted me to Horangi, to joining Horangi, was the people, because I met a lot of interesting characters through the interview. That was quite refreshing for me, especially having been in the cybersecurity industry for more than a decade. So I took on the opportunity, took a leap of faith, and I'm glad I did. So it has been quite a fulfilling journey so far for me.
Yeah, and thanks, Ivan, and thanks for helping to build an awesome product as well. Bo, why don't you introduce yourself as well?
Hey, cool, thanks. Hi, everyone. Bosi here. I'm basically the solutions architectural lead in Horangi right now. I first started my career in 2014 as part of a consultant in PricewaterhouseCoopers, doing more traditional security consulting. Yeah, so kind of remember the days where we conduct interviews in the Starbucks at Plaza Singapura. So like, I also conducted a few interviews back then. So it's quite amazing to see how much we have grown so far. So we've been through quite a bit of a transition over here at Horangi, you know, being a consultant, helping out in sales, and right now I'm mostly supporting Warden's pre-sales function. So yeah, really congratulations again, right, to see how much Horangi has grown so far in the past 7 years.
Yeah, thanks, Bo. And just for context, that Starbucks was like right outside of our first apartment in Singapore. where we did run a lot of interviews out of that Starbucks, and it's still there. I walked by there the other day. Lance, why don't you give an introduction to yourself also?
So hi, everyone. My name is Lance, and first I'd like to say congrats, Tigers, to a happy six. Yeah, so I'm Lance. I lead the customer success function here since way long ago. Interestingly, this is my second job, actually. Harangi was my second job, and I've been here, left halfway and then came back after a while because, you know, there's no other company like Harangi, and felt that it was a really good experience, and having knowledge and gaining knowledge outside of the company and then coming back and employing that knowledge was really helpful to the business as well. So it's been a fun and exciting ride for my past like 4 or 5 years in the company. So yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a bunch, Lance. Yeah, so just to kick it off with the questions, yeah, kind of maybe Nico, you can give us kind of a high level journey of Harangi over the past years, and you know, from where it began to and some of the significant sort of milestones that you remember along the way. I know it's you know, wrapping up that long time frame in a couple minutes is tough, but yeah, let's just keep it to a shortened view there.
Okay, sure, with pleasure. It was a very fun and warm memory. So I would like to share maybe as an introduction the start or inception of Harangi, right? And maybe some my fellow colleagues can help with future steps. But yeah, I remember like basically how we met, actually, as I mentioned, with Paul before Harangi started. And Paul is a very professional person as well as a good friend. So we had a lot of discussions about cybersecurity at that time. I was also mentoring, teaching at elite program in Korea, in South Korea, for BOB, best of the best. And we were looking for a trainer for 1 week international trainings. And at the time I was reaching out to Paul, and Paul agreed to provide this training and brought another person with him, who eventually became also a co-founder of Harangi. And there was an amazing training. And I think that since that time, it was a milestone where we consider that it was the first service provided by Harangi, and the money from this training went instead of Paul's pocket right to the Harangi budget. And after that, yeah, there was a wild journey. So we started working on some ideas before even Harangi started, and then like Paul went to Philippines, and he met some interesting partners, and he was just calling me, I don't know, like in the middle of night, and saying, "Hey, Nico, quit your job and come us up to the Philippines." And I'm like, "Philippines? I've never been to the Philippines. What is this place?" But eventually, it was a very exciting first year at Harangi, like in Philippines, where we had the first project. But before, yeah, we came to Philippines, we had a stopover in Singapore. And that time we organized like an Inception party. I think I overwatched this movie Inception, like with Leonardo DiCaprio. But yeah, it was funny to organize this party because it was also RSA during the time in Singapore. So a lot of security guys were coming, and yeah, we organized the Inception party at Paul's apartment, which was also office of Harangi. So I think this is a start of Harangi journey. Anyone would like to continue and share? I mean, maybe Ivan has some other memories, like, because basically after our first year in Philippines, after first project, that time I think Ivan already joined and started taking over engineering team.
Yeah, I think it was quite interesting, as I mentioned, the people at Harangi when we first started out came from different backgrounds, and honestly, it was quite fun back then. We were ideating and experimenting a lot, quite a fair bit, and I think one of the big moments for me was really being able to work with such a big diverse group of people, people from different backgrounds, from different cultures, different nationalities. That was quite a amazing experience for me. And I think that also contributed greatly to our culture at Harangi, where I know there's a really big sense of openness in our discussion, accepting, you know, different views, and also building up the trust among the teams, right? Because we are able to be going into discussion with a very open mind. I think that's quite important, right? Especially for a startup where we need to be able to innovate quickly, right? And through innovation, that means that we need to take risks. And for that to be somewhat successful, I think the trust factor has to be pretty high, right? And I think one of the biggest contributors to that trust is our openness and our diversity as a company. How about Lance? Lance, anything to add?
Yeah, most definitely. I remember like one major milestone we had come across was the first ideation of the Warden as it is now as a product, right? Like our first instance of trying to figure out how can we help build a cloud security tool. And I still remember it being just a couple of slides on a PowerPoint that Bosi and some of the others actually made. And that was really the first time we pitched it to customers as well, and getting that feedback directly from the customers, like, you know, does this help you sleep at night? Does this help you, you know, does this help you become more secure over time? How important is this area of cloud security to you? And over time, it's been really quite a journey to see that idea, you know, just a couple of slides, just an idea, a raw idea, being built into a product, and then taking on the form it is today, which it's been a really exciting journey.
Yeah, and Bosi, I'm sure you have something to add there, since you were also working with Lance on that back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, like, outside of like the kind of Warden product style of things, I think when I first joined, obviously I was more involved in like the professional services, right? Just you know, generally getting revenue for Horangi, you know, spreading the words around. So I think it's kind of definitely outside of my comfort zone back then, right? Because when I was PwC, I'm surrounded by a lot of like mature processes where I have all the materials in place to perform all the security consultancy work. But then when I joined, obviously I have to do a lot of the things ground up, right? Like building processes, talking to customers, engaging with sales conversations, doing the work itself, right? No involvement in marketing. So it's really a lot of work, but it's definitely tough. But to be honest, like it's definitely one of my like fondest days in Horangi, right? Like just slog it out, right? Just really do the work, crush it, and then customers come back and say like, "Hey, you guys did a good job." So really seeing the company grow, you know, going through Series A, Series B, as we go along. Right? So that has really been quite amazing for at least for myself.
Yeah, great to hear. And yeah, I remember that time quite fondly as well, as well as interviewing people at Starbucks. I mean, so many memories. Looking ahead, like, what do you kind of envision as the future of cybersecurity, and how do you think Horangi fits into that? So I'm going to point this one at Ivan, but I'll let anyone else tag along after he gives his initial response.
Oh, sure. I think the... talking about the current state of cybersecurity and moving forward as well, I think there is going to be an increasing change in pace, right? I think things are going to happen a lot faster, and I also things are going to be more and more complex in our world, right? I think this is primarily driven by adoption of new technologies, right? And one thing that is quite evident, at least for us at Horangi, is the adoption of the cloud. For example, like when we started off Horangi, most of our customers that were in the cloud are mostly startups. But I think in recent years, we are seeing more and more enterprises, banks, migrating to the cloud. And what is interesting is that even the public sector is moving to the cloud. So I think with this, the side effect is that the noise is going to increase as well, given the sheer amount of activities and the the speed of things that's happening. I think the future for cybersecurity is really how do we use technology to filter down the noise and zoom in on what is critical and important. I think that's going to be quite crucial. Another thing, my view is that I think the demand for cybersecurity experts are going to continue to outpace the ability for the industry to train them. That means we're going to see a lot more people from other domains like engineering, DevOps, infrastructure, crossing into the cybersecurity space. We see that a lot now, right? A lot of customers that we talk to who are leading the charge on cloud security, they are not necessarily security trained, right? So I think the problem right now is that a lot of the cybersecurity tools and solutions out there are actually built for experts. And oftentimes, these tools take a lot of time to onboard and for the users to ramp up. I think it makes it really hard for non-cyber experts to adopt. And I think a lot of the users right now are realizing that. So going forward, I think we will see a lot more cybersecurity, especially in the cloud space, that will trade complexity for simplicity. It's really trying to make it more humanistic approach to cybersecurity so that the wider audience can adopt and really extract its value. That's what I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think you answered that well. I don't have anything to add there, but I agree that, the talent problem is not going anywhere. And it's something that especially the medium-sized and organizations that don't have the sort of hiring power of banks are gonna struggle with. Any thoughts from anyone else on that specific one? All right. Well, Nico.
Yeah. Okay. I think I want to build up on the idea of Ivan that about complexity and noise. So at Horani, right? I'm actually enjoying my current position because in internal security and IT, like we use our own tools and services. So and our kind of vision is to be an ideal client of ourselves. And what I observe, right, that even like in Horani, a medium-sized company, right, like 100 plus people, we use a lot of different tools, cloud tools. And more than maybe 100 SaaS tools and a lot of services in cloud. So, and what I see, like cloud is the future, right? And what it enables, right, is to have a lot of different tools for cheaper price. So that's why like companies use more and more different tools and more different services. So it's very exciting, right? So we can choose the right tool for right problem, but also it introduces a lot of challenges, like where all our data are, where all different problems exist. So that's why I envision that for cybersecurity, right, is future like cloud and how like one platform can address this complexity and maybe like provide different types of solution consolidated in one place. And this is where I also see like Wharton moving towards, right, having like CSPM, IEM, threat detection, and maybe adding other additional solutions.
Yeah, of course. All right, and to point another question at Bo. Cybersecurity is constantly evolving, obviously, as we all know. How does Horangi kind of stay ahead of the curve and ensure we remain at the forefront of the industry?
Yeah, at least from my personally, I've seen quite a number of initiatives pushed out by Horangi that helps us in this. Right, first one is obviously, we encourage our consultants or engineers to take up certifications. Right, so we don't kind of no. In fact, we do have allocate a portion of our time, right, like billable time, to actually do your own trainings, conduct your own self improvements, so that you don't actually stay within the same spot, right? Just improving yourself in general, and we do also conduct quite a number of collaboration with industry experts, roundtables in events. Recently we do conduct quite a number of events with our cloud service providers partners. So that actually helps us to kind of get a good thought leadership, good knowledge around the industry as well. And I think we do have pretty huge investment in our R&D team as well, right? So, you know, especially, you know, in our Warden 2 itself, you know, we do see that as a really a continual involvement of cloud, public cloud services. So R&D team actually keeps themselves up to date, right, in terms of the latest track actor, the techniques that they adopt to exploit these services. So these are some of the methods, right, like that we actually keep ourselves sharp, right? We don't want to keep our consultants or engineers, for that matter, to start in one place. So that's probably, that's coming from me. Anyone else has anything to add on?
Think actually one thing that helps us maintain ourselves at the forefront is our close loop with our customers for feedback and engagement, right? Yeah, we maintain that really close loop. Like, our customers actually have direct access sometimes to our product team and even our engineering team to really make sure that we're building a product here that not just is cutting edge in terms of cybersecurity, but it's also usable by customers and integrated into the current structure of their company and how they think about cybersecurity and the goals they want to achieve, right? And if at the end of the day, making them safer, but using things that are within their realm of expertise and helping them achieve those things in their own terms as well. So that's one of the things that I think our team has been specifically very, very good at, and listening to our customers a lot in building our product. But yeah, over back to you, Paul.
All right, there we go. Sorry, I was having trouble with the mute button. But definitely agree with both Bo and Lance's comments. One other thing, and this is lightly touched on, but one thing I think that really helps us too is that we have like sort of different offerings. So having the services and the product, I think, helps us quite a bit because the product essentially came out of us doing services because we identified a problem at a customer. And then built a solution around solving it. And then originally we were engaging them with services. And I think, that's a benefit that we have, especially over a lot of the SaaS, purely SaaS cybersecurity offerings, is that we do have a services team that can work with our customers and understand their problems and help us kind of iterate on what to build and how to build it, as well as, you know, our services team uses our own product to help secure our customers when we're doing some of the testing side of things. So I think that's an advantage that we have and something that we capitalized on as well. I'll fire the next question. I think this is out to all of you, but I'll let Ivan answer first. So Harangi has sort of a global presence. So we have people across the world at this point, still majority based in Asia, but and obviously customers all around the world also. Just curious you touched on this, I think, in your first question, which is why I asked it to you again, but the importance of like international collaboration. You know, obviously we're remote first now. We have calls like, around the clock sometimes because our customers are everywhere. But be curious how that's been for you and kind of like how you see that kind of addressing the challenges of our customers and also solving cybersecurity problems.
Yeah, sure. I think in terms of adjustment, it wasn't too tough, given that, you know, we transited through the COVID period and now we are a remote first company. So we are quite comfortable doing remote calls. And I think that really helped us in terms of our reach, right? We are no longer limited to face to face. And especially when we are able to reach out and get connected to other partners and customers from outside our region. I think that's quite interesting and quite important because really the world is quite flat right now, given that technologies, you know, really kind of level the playing field for a lot of people. Even though we are Asian-based company, we are able to try and talk to US-based customers or in the Middle East, understanding their needs better, and also understanding the landscape, right? So I think that really helped us in terms of how we are thinking about building products, how we are thinking about our strategy. And that's quite important. And also I think in terms of exposure, in terms of visibility into new areas, right, that really helped us, you know, gain a lot of insights that would be otherwise quite difficult to gain if we had kind of remained in our comfort zone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, totally agree there. Any thoughts from anyone else on the specific question there?
Yeah, I mean, coming from me, obviously, you know, one of the main cybersecurity challenge that a lot of organizations face, right, be it startup or enterprises, would be regulation. Right, so I think having resources or partners that across the globe, right, especially, you know, for us, we do work with quite a number of Southeast Asian and Asian partners and employees, is that they have better grasps of, like, their individual regulations, right, the requirements and needs. So, take, for example, we work with OJK in Indonesia, I remember, Bank Negara in Malaysia. So, be it, you know, having our warden to have support for those compliance, or having our strategy consultants to be able to more customize our offering based on those regulations. I think collaboration with, like, you know, employees and partners on in these individual countries would be greatly important for us. Like. So that's coming from me.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, some of the regional things that we do for our customers, it does provide a lot of value for them, and you know, is an edge for us too. So I think that's super important for us. So like, as we look kind of at sort of as cybersecurity becomes increasingly important across industries, how do we kind of foster a culture of cybersecurity awareness and learning? And this one's pointed at Lance, but I'm sure Nico will have some thoughts on this also.
Yeah, I think one of the main important things that we always tell our customers and anybody that we work with, really, whether it's partners or even just meeting people, is that Harangi is not just a professional services firm. We're not just we're also not just a product company, right? We're a cybersecurity company. So when we interact with customers, you know, we expect that, you know, try to impress on them that we are a cybersecurity company. You can come to us for any kind of cybersecurity, you know, queries, questions, things like that. But not just that, that our services as well as our engagements are built in a way to help our customers, you know, build process within their own companies about how they should be spreading awareness, how cybersecurity, what is the importance of cybersecurity, firstly, as an from an awareness standpoint, but how to build it up towards, you know, making it actual process and at the end of the day, effecting actual change within an organization, which will make it much safer. And we come with a whole slew of, you know, what program programs or an advice which can be given to any company, you know, about how to, you know, make their cloud safer or any part of their business a little bit safer in terms of cybersecurity from that standpoint. So that's something that we do, you know, regularly with any engagement with our customers. And of course, we also have our consultants who, you know, regularly engage our customers on, you know, not just on the first level of, you know, finding a problem and then telling you about it, but also in how to remediate it, what's the best ways, retesting and things like that. We complete the full circle and, you know, obviously at the end of the day, trying to, you know, mitigate that habit from happening in the future again. So that's kind of something that we constantly keep up. Nico, want to chime in here?
Yeah, of course. Totally agree with Lance's observations. And also I wanted to add, I think the important part is executive support. For example, at Horany, we have this practice. We call it State of the Tiger. So it's basically a town hall. We do it biweekly. And every team shares their updates. And I think it's, I give credit to our senior management, right, that they also added a part in this State of the Tiger activity for internal security and IT to share their updates, right, where we have also opportunity to share what's going on in terms of internal security at Horany, as well as we have been preparing cybersecurity threat newsletters for past I think 2 years. So we also highlight, summarize news and highlight them during that time, as well as send an email, a broadcast to the company wide. Of course, like we also have a security awareness training internally, which we require every new employee to attend, right? And as well as we conduct it annually. And I think also thanks to, I think, our company culture and again, like executive support, actually our onboarding starts for every new employee, starts with internal security and IT training, right? So I'm a first person who greets our new employees. So of course it's a high responsibility, but also I think it's important because it shows like importance of security at our company. So I think this is main highlights how we build security awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Nico, and thanks, Lance. Ivan, Bo, and anything to add? Yeah, and I'll add something then quickly. I think like Nico stated it correctly, but you know, one thing we set out to do as a company is obviously we're a security company, so the sort of importance of security is significantly heightened for us, but. You know, kind of setting the culture correctly from the top down in terms of making sure that people understand that it is an important part of our business. We are a target and we do have to take it seriously. And one of the reasons why once we only do onboarding once a month, except for special exceptions. You know, that's one of the reasons for that is so we can make sure that everyone gets the same onboarding experience. And one of the main pieces of the onboarding experience that Nico mentioned is the IT and security training that goes into that. And the reason we do it first is so people understand that, like, it's serious, something we think about every day, and it's part of our culture. And you know, like, I always tell like smaller companies that are thinking about security is that like culture is free. So if you invest in security, at least from a culture perspective, early, it's going to save you a lot of heartache in the long term. And you know, we practice that internally ourselves. Cool. So as we kind of like sort of wrap up the podcast, kind of wanted to just get a story from everyone just about Harangi. So I won't call anyone out, but I'll let anyone start. Just keep it to a minute or two, and hopefully you guys don't think of the same one. And not too juicy.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I can go first though. Yeah, I mean, like, first joined, obviously things are super hectic. I think the most memorable one is basically me traveling to Indonesia almost every week, almost like 3 months straight. So obviously we are supporting a pretty large customer over there. And in fact, we actually had at least a apartment back then, right? Like it was a, yeah, it was a pretty nice apartment. You know, it has like 3 rooms in it. So anyone that travels to Indonesia to support the customer can actually live in there over the weekend or over the whole week. So I think one thing that struck me quite a bit, quite strongly is that there's this corridor that is like super dark. So when I travel there alone, right, it's actually pretty scary when I travel back at night. So yeah, so that's probably one of the most memorable situation for me. Obviously, the work that I do in Indonesia back then, it was super fun. Doing pen tests, code review, really, fraud detection. There's really a whole bunch of things that I've never done before I joined Harangi. So, really, eye opener for myself. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So there are a lot of really good stories, but unfortunately, they are not quite safe for the podcast. But one that really kind of left an impression was actually happened, I think, this year, where I was, you know, doing my work, logging into our system, and somehow I felt something was wrong. But I dismissed it anyway, and it turns out it was a phishing exercise that was run by Nico. Even our internal security team didn't know about it. Right. And when I realized that I just got phished, you know, that was quite embarrassing, to be honest. And that's why it left an impression with me. And this is why, you know, when we talk about building culture, you know, you can never be too ready. You can never be too confident. Despite me being in this industry for so many years, I still fell for it. Right. And I think a lot of people did as well. So that was a good one, and definitely something that I remember for a long time.
Yeah, I think I can go next. I think this is more related to culture within the company and the openness within coworkers as well. We used to have pre-COVID, we used to have this board games night where it's a couple of the engineers, many of our different people from different departments participated at different points in time as well. We'd come together after work and then, you know, just have spend some time together, get to know each other on the intimate and deep friendship level as well. So that was really nice. And I think it's difficult to always find that kind of camaraderie in a company or within co-workers as well. So that's one of my favorite memories, and something that I think we've kept up even with people who've already left the company. Sometimes we'll still get together for a board games night at somebody else's house and still meet up and foster that. So even the Horangli alumni are really still have a very strong bond to the company. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I guess I'm last one. Yeah. Or unless Paul also hopefully can share some his story, right? As he's also like the biggest part, I guess, right? I wanted to share the story back to the first year when we were at the Philippines. So Paul was mentioning about apartment in Indonesia, but like our first apartment was in the Philippines, very nice apartment, right? And we've been working there like maybe half a year from the apartment. We bought some additional tables, put it in the living room. But at some point, yeah, we also, because of requirement of some project, we had to get a physical office and just across the street. And I wanted to share the story how we've been like trying to release our first version of the product. So it was before Ivan joined, so before Ivan and his team built a very nice, stable release process. At the time, we were just basically hacking on the like knee, right? And release was very tough. So we've been like coding something, we had a mistake, like we had to rebuild everything, deploy it again. And like every deployment was taking not like a minute, like now with CI/CD and all this cool security automation, but it was like taking more than an hour. So, but we had a very first goal, right? First our release, and we promised Paul to have a deadline to release by a specific date. So we decided to do a hackathon, and basically, yeah, I remember like the time, like I think 6 or 7 people of us, yeah, we just slept at the office, went at night to eat Jollibee, a very famous night food in the Philippines. Yeah, and yeah, it was very interesting and fun time. So again, like very interesting culture, very good team members, good friends and colleagues. And I remember after this all night trying to release last version and eventually releasing our first release, I slept all night and most of the team, all day, and most of the team slept all day. But that time we had this culture. Every Friday we had a happy hour at 5 p.m., right? So everyone woke up and show up at happy hour to celebrate this event. So yeah, work hard, play hard. Yeah, Tigers never missed a happy hour.
definitely remember all those stories. And I guess I'll tell one myself too, which is I think only 2 years ago, but one that sticks in my mind and is also appropriate for the podcast. So I think one of the ones I remember, and it was a story of we closed a very large deal. I think it was like 2021, and we did like a State of the Tiger, which I think Nico mentioned earlier, which is like our all hands. And as part of that, I was trying to open some champagne to celebrate that specific deal. As we were working from home in 2021 at the time, kind of sort of messed up my keyboard as well as the office, because as I was opening champagne in front of the entire company, it exploded and went all over my desk and face. And and we still have that moment documented in video somewhere. It was a pretty embarrassing moment for me, but it was all in good fun, and we were all happy that we won the big deal anyways. So it wasn't super embarrassing, but it was a good time and fond memory of mine. And I think quite a few of us actually had champagne to open in the senior team level at that time. And I think mine was the only one that exploded, funny enough. cool. So, yeah, like awesome sort of anniversary podcast. Thanks, you know, everyone who's here today for talking. And then hopefully this is interesting for the audience out there. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. I hope the audience did too. And to everyone listening to the podcast, thank you all for tuning in. And once again, this is the Ask a CISO podcast, and this is Paul signing off.